as we seek him together. Let's pray. Our glorious and our gracious God, Lord, we come into your sacred throne room, into your hallowed presence, through the merits, through the veil, through the work of our great high priest over the house of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we do so, Lord, how we would rejoice in the beauty and the power of the gospel. Lord Jesus, that you, as the suffering Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, that you endured that dreadful curse, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That the scornings which we deserved fell upon your shoulders, that the lash which we deserved came crashing upon your own back, that the blood which we should have spilled was poured out from your own body. Lord Jesus, we look to you this night, and we look to you with desperation. We look to you with hunger. We look to you with thirst. We look to you with assurance. We look to you with joyful hope and confidence. We look to you, O Lord Jesus, even as we confess our own guilt, Lord, that we ourselves are the lawbreakers who called down the thunder of the wrath of God. Lord, that we ourselves, having rebelled against your will, having scorned your law, having resisted your truth, having stiffened our shoulder against your rebukes, having turned coldly aside from your offer of mercy, oh Lord, we would look to you this night. And from the depths we would cry out unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear our voice. Let the voice of our supplications ascend before your ear. For if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, none could stand. But Lord, we are at rest this night. And we are at peace, trusting that there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be feared. Oh, we would rest in that perfect forgiveness this night. And Lord, we would ask that by your Spirit you would work in us that deeper love and fear of the Lord. Lord, sculpt in us that strong, deep-toned piety, a piety that loves you, the Lord our God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. A piety that fears your name. A piety that is hushed before the holiness of God. A piety that loves your law, that delights in your statutes. Lord Jesus, we pray that this night you would draw us after yourself. And we plead with you, O God, that you would anoint and that you would bless your church. O Lord, would you come? Would you come in power to our assembly? Would you come in power to your church across this land? And would you revive her? Would you make her distinct in the eyes of the world? Would you make her pure in your sight? Or would you make her distinct through her character? Would you make her distinct in her fellowship, in her purpose? Lord, would you come? Glorify yourself through your church. Let the manifold wisdom of God be declared through your church. Lord, would you come? Would you sanctify your people? Oh, would you remember this Zion where you have dwelt? Would you remember your congregation which you have purchased of old? Would you remember this rod of your inheritance? Would you arise, O God, Lord, as the surrounding world mocks and scorns, would you arise? Oh, how long, O Lord? How long, O God of heaven, would you extend your hand? Lord, for the glory of your great name, would you arise and defend your cause? Lord, have respect, have regard, have zeal for your covenant. have zeal for your Son? Have you not given unto him these covenant promises, to give unto him the nations as his inheritance and the ends of the earth as his possession? Lord, glorify your Son. Draw the lost to yourself. Purify the preached word. Would you purify the sung word? Lord, would you sculpt and shape the praying of the word? Lord, would you purge? Would you reform? Lord, would you revive the worship of your people? And oh, Lord, that this night, as your word goes forth, Lord, let it drop as a healing balm into the wounds of your people. Would you cause it to sweeten and to strengthen our wait upon you? Would you train us to wait for you, O Lord? Train our souls to wait just as watchmen for the morning. Would you train us to hope in the Lord? For with you is abundant and plentiful redemption, and that you will redeem your people from all their iniquities, and that you will guide our steps and lead us at long last to Emmanuel's land. O come, Holy Spirit, would you open the beauties of your law to us? And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our text tonight will come from Psalm 123. Psalm 123, this is on page 656 in your pew Bibles. And we're taking about 4 or 5 weeks together. And we're pursuing this theme of waiting and what it is to wait upon the Lord. Our first pause as we consider that topic is Psalm 123. This is a song of ascents. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. And behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid servant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease and of the contempt of the proud. Perhaps you are in a place of pouring out long, moaning cries that have endured through many a night. Perhaps you're in that place where you're trying to look ahead and all you see is a dense fog, and your next steps seem uncertain. Perhaps you're in a place where you have poured out your soul in petition for one thing. Perhaps even for decades, you have longed and ached for one thing. Perhaps you're here and you are enjoying the light of his favor, and you're in a place where The pale gray clouds of staleness have been replaced by the full brightness of high noon, and everything is draped in the richest color, and your communion with God has been most sweet. Regardless of where you are, regardless of the particular station of the believer, there is no more imperative, vital, scriptural duty than waiting on the Lord. Now, what is it to wait upon the Lord? Now, this is a scriptural command that is repeated again and again and again. And it in many ways summarizes the duty and the joy of the believer. Old Testament, New Testament, it in many ways summarizes the joy and the duty, and we can even put those two together, the joyful duty of the believer. And so I want to just begin this line of thought with you tonight by looking at Psalm 123, and I want to say that to wait on the Lord is about a posture. To wait on the Lord is very different from sitting in the doctor's office and your appointment is at 1 and you actually don't see your doctor until 2:30. To wait on the Lord is very different from standing in line at the store at 5:15 on a weekday. That is not what waiting on the Lord is. To wait on the Lord is a posture, and it is a vision. And in this vision, you look in a particular direction. To wait on the Lord means that you look up. It's, first of all, a posture and a vision. To wait on the Lord means that you look up. Notice what the psalmist says. This is a song of ascents. It's a song which the Israelites would have sung in a pilgrimage on their way up to Jerusalem, on their way up to a yearly offering or sacrifice, on their way up as they ascended the hills. This is a song of ascents. And what does he say? Look at verse 1. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. He is looking up. Kids, can you see this? What direction is he looking? Is he looking down? No, he's looking up. King Hezekiah, as Jerusalem is surrounded by a besieging, invading army, King Hezekiah, he takes this communication of scorn and mocking and malice, and he spreads it before the Lord. It is a communication from the enemy that is promising certain destruction and scorning the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. And Hezekiah, he spreads this before the Lord, and he cries out in the face of an invading army. He cries out, O Lord God of Israel, who dwells between the cherubim. And he cries out, we have had enough of the scorn and the contempt of the invader. We have had enough. And he cries out, O Lord, would your ear be bent? Would your eye be open to behold the mocking of Sennacherib, the malicious, merciless invader? Would your ear be open? We have had enough of the scorn and contempt. Some people have thought that Psalm 123 would have even been penned, perhaps even by Hezekiah, at the time of that invasion, which is recorded in Isaiah 37 and then in 2 Kings 18 and 19. He's looking up. What do you do when you're weary? What do you do when your pace begins to slow? Connect this to this morning. our tendency is to atrophy and for our steps to grow heavy. What do you do? You look up. Now you look up with reverence. You look up away from the circumstances. King Hezekiah looks away from the invader. You look away. Isn't that what the Lord's Day is for? Isn't that why we love the Sabbath day? Why we call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable? It's one day a week where we get to look up and away from the invader and simply feast our eyes upon the victorious, conquering King. To you I lift up my eyes, verse 1. O you who are enthroned in the heavens. He recognizes his position. And then he looks up to where the Lord is. What does he confess about God? He confesses, our Father who art in heaven. This is precisely how Jesus would teach his people to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. So we look up. You look up to the heavens. You look to the heavens with reverence. You look to the heavens with desire. What is it to wait upon the Lord? Well, you look up to him with the deepest desire. Matthew Henry, the English pastor from the late 17th and the early 18th century, he defines desire as love in motion. What is desire? It is love in motion. It is active love. It is to wait on the Lord means you have an active love for him, that your desire is for him. You go home this evening and you read Isaiah 26, and you'll read there in Isaiah 26, our desire is towards your name and to the remembrance of you. And to wait upon the Lord means you look up. You look up with reverence. You look up with desire, that the desire of your affections is for your beloved. You desire the one whom your soul loves. You desire this sovereign king, this holy one who dwells on a throne of perfect justice, who will vindicate his cause and who will lift the burden from his people. What is it to wait upon the Lord? It means you look up to the heavens with reverence, with desire. You look up to the heavens with supreme delight. Okay, so if desire is love in motion, Matthew Henry says, delight is love at rest. So desire is love moving towards something. You seek the Lord. You long for the Lord. You pray. You pour out your soul before him. You literally move your feet toward the house of worship. Your desire is for him. But then you pause and you delight in him. And to wait upon the Lord is to delight in his person, to delight in his goodness. Kids, how would you describe God? If you were to fill in the blank, God is, and then you could fill in the blank. What adjectives, what attributes would you use? What is God like? And then what do you think of what he is like? Okay, so you write down that list of what he is like. Now, what do you think of him? Is your delight in him? You see, waiting on the Lord, it's very different from waiting in line or sitting, thumbing through worn-out magazines. To wait upon the Lord is to meditate deeply on who he is. You lift your eyes to the heavens. So the second thing We're lifting our eyes. We're looking up, first of all, to the heavens. But the second thing is you're lifting your eyes. You are looking up to His hand. You're looking up to the heavens, but you're also looking up to His hand. So you look at verses 2 and 3. He says, "As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till He has mercy upon us." So what do? We look up, and when we look, what do we focus on? We focus on His hand. As the eyes of servants, as the eyes of a maid, we look to Him recognizing that we are servants. And as we learn to wait upon Him, we learn that our duty is to do His will, not ours. To seek His direction, not our preference. His leading, not simply our ambitions. As the eyes of servants. Now, as you delight in the Lord, now you lift your eyes to the heavens and you delight in who He is. As you delight in the Lord, as the psalmist tells us, Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So as your desire, as your longing, as your love is aligned with Him, what happens? He gives you Himself. He gives you His leading, His direction. And His direction, what the Christian, what the servant, what the maid is always learning is that His will, His timing is always perfect. It is never late. It is never ill-timed. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, we recognize that we are children, that we are servants, and His is a hand that directs, and we look to a hand that gives, to a hand that supplies. Oh, if you are achingly longing and seeking to peer through the fog, through the density, and you're seeking to look around the corner, my dear friend, you have no greater duty than to simply pause and to behold that He is God and that His will shall be done. You look to His hand, and His hand, just as the hand of a good master, just as the hand of a merciful mistress, His is a hand of fatherly care. His is a hand of perfect provision. His is a hand of infinite wisdom. You can't see around the corner. You can't peer through the fog. But there is one who has the bird's eye view, who sees around every corner, and whose searching eye can pierce the deepest pit of darkness. And He is a God who led His people by the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, and He continues to call you His children and lead you by His word and spirit. And your task is to simply wait. You look up to the heavens, and you look to His hand. Matthew Henry says, you look to His hand for every good. Every conceivable good you could desire. Every pure joy. You look to Him. And what do you long for? What do you seek? What do you desire? What is that good that you pray for? As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid servant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes. Don't you love how the scriptures use word pictures? They use these metaphors. They use these little images that teach you. And what is it to wait upon the Lord? Well, it's to look. What is it to trust in the Lord? It is to look. It is to look to His hand. Just as you would reach out your hand to feed your child, to feed one of your own, even so, you have a kind, merciful Father. And do you think that He will withhold the feeding of your soul or the directing of your steps? Can you trust Him even when you can't see? That's your challenge. Can you trust Him? Can you wait upon Him even when you cannot see the hand in front of your face? We look up. And this command to look up, it flows from a God who is infinite in mercy and care. We look up to the heavens. We look to His hand. And we do this, lastly, as long as it takes. Now, for how long do you look up? How long do you lift your eyes into the heavens? How long do you look to His hand for every good, for every direction, for every step? You look up to Him for as long as it takes. You look at verse 2, at the end of verse 2, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. For how long? Until when? Kids, can you see this? Look at verse 2. Our eyes look until when? Until He has mercy upon us. Our times are in His hand. You and I are under His most holy, wise and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. Do you know the calm that this can speak to an agitated soul? You know, when our minds, when our thoughts lift up with the, just as the waves would crash on the beach when a storm is coming in. Do you know the calm that this one thing, if we would simply look and wait upon the Lord, is this not that gentle breeze that calms those waves? How long must you and I wait looking to His hand? Until He has mercy upon us. Your times are in His hand, and they are capable hands. This is that gentle shade where you can simply pause and trust. You look to Him. And until He provides the answer, until He shows you the next steps, your task and mine is to simply endure. And this is another point we'll consider in a couple of weeks, but for now, just take this point that our task is to simply endure. Our eyes look to the Lord our God until He has mercy upon us. Now, there are lessons which you and I must learn, which simply could not be embraced unless there was this part. particular season of uncertainty and fog and weariness. What is he showing you? What questions is he posing to you? What truths is he revealing to you? What sanctifying, chiseling marks has he left upon you? I want to give you two tasks for you to consider and meditate on this coming week. As you meditate on what it is to wait upon him, to look up to him, to look to the heavens, to look to his hand for as long as it takes, I want you to first of all make a study, make a deep, in-depth study of who he is, to make a study, an enriched, focused search of the scriptures. You search who he is. You search his attributes. This is waiting on the Lord. We're not waiting for a solution. We're not waiting for an answer to every question. We are simply looking to him. In this psalm that we'll sing in just a minute, we're going to sing these words. I wait for the Lord. Not for this particular circumstance to be relieved, but I wait for the Lord. So make a study of who he is, of his attributes. And then you study to see yourself as a complete dependent. Every good you could ever need, every provision you will ever have need of, every decision, every direction, every single thing. This is what it is to wait upon the Lord. You see yourself as completely, spiritually empty and bankrupt and in need of his fullness. We're back to this morning, aren't we? Where does zeal come from? Does it not come from his filling, the filling of his spirit, the filling of his truth? As you wait upon the Lord, oh, that you would tighten your cling to his truth, his promises, that you would steady your meditation on who he is, and that you would see yourself as a complete dependent. Look to his hand. His is a hand of provision, direction, fullness. And this is also coming in 3 or 4 weeks. A rewarding hand. So look up. You keep your head up and you press on toward the mark. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God and our everlasting Father, we to you lift up our eyes. O you, the one who dwells in the heavens, just as the eyes of a servant look to the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look unto you, O Lord our God, until you have mercy upon us. We ask that you would sweeten and strengthen our wait upon you, and that you would train us to long for nothing more than your glory, that your pure and perfect name be reverenced and exalted. We wait upon you. We would be still and know that you are God. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.